Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 182 of Paranormal Stories. This episode I'm reading from Scarlett Heinberg's book, We Met on the Other Side. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I have put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. So I'm going to start by reading a small extract from chapter 2, and this is about Scarlett's near-death experience, and this is what she has written. I was bobbing in the water, and I could feel my feet periodically touch the scratchy bottom of the pool. But as I kept bouncing, I didn't realise that I was gradually floating back toward the pool's deep end. I enjoyed the buoyant, cool water as a welcome relief from a hot day. My sister was playing with the other children, and we were having a great time. When I realised my feet were no longer touching the bottom, that sense of pleasure and fun quickly turned to fear. My head dunked underwater, and I gulped the bitter water. I started flailing. My arms were searching for something to hold on to. My feet were trying to find the suddenly missing flooring. My mouth was open, and the water kept pouring in. In a complete panic, I bobbed, sputtered, choked, and sank. The darkness closed over me, and then I was out of my body, floating up and over the left corner of the pool, where I hovered. I felt safely protected in an embrace of peace, love, and contentment. Looking down through the shimmering blue water, I could see a little pink cap on the head of a body lying motionless at the bottom of the pool. I knew that this body was mine, yet I was floating out of it too. I felt so happy floating in this loving place and wanted to stay there. Years later, when my mother and I discussed it, she told me that she suddenly sensed something was wrong. She had been checking on my brother in the kiddie pool, and when she turned to look toward my sister and me, she didn't see me. She could hear the kids laughing and splashing, and she saw my sister playing with another child. She rushed to the side of the pool, looked down, spotted my pink cap, and saw me lying motionless on the bottom. The lifeguard had not seen me sink beneath the surface. My mother jumped in the pool, scooped me up and out, and laid me on the cement at the edge. "You were blue and not breathing," she later said. "For a while, you weren't with us." Now I'm going to jump forward to chapter 14. At this point in the book, Scarlett is writing about how she was giving Reiki healing to a guy called David who was in hospital. And this is what Scarlett has written. After I got home and settled, I popped the movie in and began to watch. The storyline, starring Marley Matlin, was intriguing, as were several metaphysical concepts presented in an entertaining and thought-provoking way. Now I was ready for bed. I brushed my teeth and got into bed, thinking about David and his kidneys. I began to pray, but this time I was feeling some doubt creep in. Maybe this had all been a fluke. Maybe he'd gotten more than anyone could hope for and should accept the healing he had received and just be grateful. But that conclusion didn't work too well for me. I felt there could be more, and I believed that God could do it. "Dear God, I am asking for your help for David. I am asking you, God, and I'm calling all the angels in the universe and all the powers that are only the highest and best, the most sacred and holy in all dimensions, only of you, God, to help David. I believe you can restore his kidneys to total health, and I know you said that whatever we ask in your name, with faith, will be done. So I am asking you, God, to bring forth all your love and healing energy to help David. I give thanks and praise for the complete healing of his kidneys. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen." I took a deep breath. Quietude filled the room, a stillness almost like time had stopped. I became aware of David's eyes looking at me. Then the view switched, and I was standing in his hospital room, observing the activity taking place. David was surrounded by four very tall beings who seemed to be a spiritual medical team. One was at his head, One was at his feet, and one on each side. The one who seemed to be the team leader was clothed in blue scrubs. He was wearing a surgeon's cap and a face mask that extended below his chin. He stood on David's left side. His facial features were sharp, very prominent blue eyes and cheekbones, with narrow lips and a sharp, almost beak-like nose showing through the mask. He looked a little like a ghostly alien. The others were also wearing blue scrubs, caps and face masks. They appeared like any medical team, except that I could see through them. Although it was hard to distinguish their genders, it seemed they were two males and two females. Oddly enough, they were tinted blue, similar to the blue colour for Eastern Indian gods of enlightenment, such as Krishna. Apparently, God had heard my prayers and had sent a team of healing helpers. The leader of the team was surgically repairing David's kidneys. One of the crew cradled David's head, and the other held his feet. The remaining team member stood with his hands spread, one covering David's heart area and the other hovering over his lungs. I could sense they were all aware of me. The crew conferred telepathically with each other and with me. The lead healer paused, looked up at my astral presence, then looked away, letting me know he saw me, but he was still working. His movements were exceptionally crisp and fast. His bluish colour made him look like a beamed projection from another dimension. They telepathically communicated that while I was away from David, they were working with him throughout the night. I watched, fascinated, as the lead healer seemed to manifest a set of kidneys, which seemed to float above David, as though suspended on an invisible tray. It was almost like our holographic organs were doppelgangers of the damaged ones. As I watched, the blue kidneys descended into David's body, as if to replace the damaged ones. When all was done, the lead doctor looked up and nodded at me, indicating that they had finished the regeneration. The next thing I knew, I was back in my bed. I could not explain what had happened, except that I knew I had been out of my body and I was sure of those beings. I wondered if I was losing my mind. The experience seemed vivid and real. Somehow I had connected to the portal of another dimension. This portal had remained open so that they could come in and work to repair the physical body through the spirit body. I trusted that this was God's work. I fell into a deep sleep and woke in the morning to bright lights streaming in through my bedroom window. I got out of bed, though feeling ungrounded, and bumped into the nightstand. The walls did not appear solid. I was off balance, feeling as if I was not yet completely in my physical body, as if I was floating. On the way to the bathroom, I jammed my little toe on the door. I could feel it break. As the sharp pain shot through my toe, it began to turn purple and swell. I hobbled back to the bed and sat down, holding my injured foot. Now, I was definitely in my body and it hurt. I wrapped my hand around my toe, sending healing energy. As my grogginess lifted, I became more perplexed by what had happened the night before. Although I had never heard of this type of healing team, and it seemed strange, it also jogged a memory that continued to elude me. And now we're just jumping forward to chapter 15. It's titled Accelerated Healing. Sunday, October 2nd, 2005. I didn't know if the blue healing team was a figment of my imagination or a waking dream, but when I got to the hospital, I could see something had changed with David. Although he was sleeping, he seemed to have improved overnight. His colour was better and he looked more at peace. Nurse Sherry said he'd had a rough night, which surprised me. I thought the healing team I'd envisioned would elicit a peaceful response, but if major things were happening, maybe not. The feeding tube has been removed and he's now able to take small sips of water and a small bite of apple sauce, she said. I worked with David saying the usual prayers and spending extra time hovering my hands over his kidney area. The energy was solidly vibrant today and I could feel it circulating through both of us. I envisioned his kidneys full of living energy, healed and whole. David hadn't woken up by the time I finished, so I quietly squeezed his hand and told him I'd be back. Today I was reading from Scarlett Hinebook's book, We Met on the Other Side. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And my book on verified near-death experiences is out now on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, and Kindle. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife, or click on the button on my homepage at pastlifeshypnosis.co.uk. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.